When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to United Hour, your one-stop shop for all things Manchester United. I'm your host, Nick.
I'm Imran.
And we welcome back Dr. Tom Crawford. Welcome, Tom.
Pleasure to be here again.
Yeah, you had joined us at the start of last season, which kind of seems ages ago. But actually, I thought you were on relatively recently. And we had planned to get you back, but it's quite timely because I know you've done some kind of new analysis, which we will talk about towards the end of the show. Regular listeners might remember that Tom joined us last year just after Ronaldo had joined, and he'd done what he'd called the GOAT Index, looking at some of the best players of all time, which Ronaldo came top of. But yeah, obviously a lot has happened since then. And yeah, we're going to talk, like I say, the main point of this show is the season review. Ronaldo is obviously a big part of that early part of the season in particular. So yeah, we will get onto that for sure. But yeah, we'll be looking at player of the season, goal of the season, match of the season and stuff like that. Bit of the other news that's going on. And then, like I said, we are going to finish off. Tom, you've done some new analysis, haven't you? What have you called this?
We're calling this the sportsbreaks.com hidden gems fixture list.
All right. So yeah, it's good timing with the new fixtures coming out for the season. And yeah, he's going to give us the picks of the best matches to look out for next year. But yeah, look, let's get straight into the season stuff. As I said, it's probably actually a good place to start is talking about Ronaldo, like I said, because last time you were on, it was all about him. He'd just come back. I remembered we'd record after he just scored that kind of brace in his debut. We were all kind of so happy to have him back here. A season on, obviously, everything changed completely. And yeah, we're going to kind of forget that we were calling him the best player ever. He's dead to us all, right? We don't want to ever hear his name again. But he was here at the start of the season. He left, of course. He started this kind of exodus now that's going on to Saudi Arabia every day now. There's like a new name announced. Benzema's headed off there. I think I've just seen Ruben Neves has agreed something. So, yeah, I mean, I know we saw this kind of thing to China a few years ago. MLS had a bit. I remember years ago in Japan, Gary Lineker and stuff like that going out there. So I guess these leagues always coming out of their day. But yeah, at the moment, Saudi Arabia is the flavour of the moment. But yeah, Ronaldo this year was a total killer for him. And I don't know if you've changed your analysis since then, Tom, if you've come up with something different. Some other player needs to be top of that list now.
Well, I haven't yet rerun the numbers. But I think I can say with confidence there was a very large weighting to obviously winning international competitions because they're so rare. So obviously with Lionel Messi having recently won the World Cup this season, I think he probably would now. Again, I haven't done the numbers, but I'm almost certain I think Ronaldo would now have been bumped down to number two on the list, I think.
Yeah, and of course, Messi now is headed off in the other direction to join David Beckham into Miami. But yeah, look, like I say, let's talk about the season. I mean, Imran, we have chatted about this before on the last few podcasts. I mean, I think generally we've all been in kind of agreement that it was a good season, exceeded kind of expectations, winning a trophy, top four, difficult circumstances as well. Like, let's not forget that for Ten Hag, when he came in, there was this cloud right from the start of the season over Ronaldo, whether he was staying or going. You know, last season hadn't been good. It looked like he'd wanted to go. You know, Ten Hag started in really bad circumstances, and some people forget that. I mean, I remember going to the first two games of the season where we got beat off Brighton at home and got absolutely hammered off Brentford away from home. And at that point, it almost looked like the season was a write-off. But yeah, Imran, we had said, right, that we're pretty happy with this season. I don't know, if you were giving the season a score out of 10, where would you be at?
Like 7 out of 10. 6.57 out of 10, I think. I think if you think par for the season would have been qualifying for Champions League. And that would have been like, if you just qualify for Champions League, you think you give that a 6. So I think you put a trophy on top of that. I mean, yeah, but it's probably the least good trophy we could win, I guess. But it's still a trophy at the end of the day. So yeah, 7 out of 10. I think it does bring it down a little bit, fact that we went quite late in the Europa League, and we obviously were in the FA Cup final. Does colour it a little bit, but even though you don't really want it to, but yeah, if you win the FA Cup final at the end, then that's definitely like a big 8 out of 10 season, that. So yeah, I think but it's good. And you also have to remember, it's Erik ten Hag's first season. He had a lot of things to deal with. Obviously Ronaldo, there's other things like Maguire. That was a big thing that he's dealt with really well. Not having funds in January, and whereas pretty much every other club strengthened, I think. All the big clubs bought someone. I think City were the only ones, but then City don't really need to buy anyone, let's be honest. But all the other clubs strengthened, and we got two loans in. So having to wrestle with all that, I think you can't. Yeah, you've got to say it's a good season.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, I'd even push it towards a kind of 8 out of 10 for me. As I said, that trophy extra on top and coming top four, I mean, that was the minimum kind of expectation, as I say, especially after those first few weeks of the season. But yeah, Tom, are you in agreement there? How are you feeling about this season? If you had to give it a mark out of 10, you're around the same place?
Yeah, I think you're right with 8. I thought Imran's 7 was a little bit harsh, given... though I do agree with what he said about the Europa League was a little bit disappointing. It was obviously annoying, and you know, we never like losing to City, but you know, given how good they are at the moment, and it begrudges me to say it, but they are obviously a very good team, so losing to them, you know, 2-1 FA Cup final wasn't too bad. But then I think
we had said that the last pod, I was exactly making that point on our last podcast, where a lot of pundits and all were saying it was kind of men against boys and we were never in this game. And I was like, when it was 2-1, we actually had chances. You know, I went to Wembley for that and did not come away feeling disappointed. I thought we gave a good account of ourselves. And yeah, City have now unfortunately gone on, won the treble. They've taken those two records of ours. So yeah, that is the slight kind of downer on this season. But we will keep reminding everybody about those 115 financial irregularities that are currently to be dealt with. And so yeah, that needs to be mentioned every week at the moment. And we must not forget that one.
But also, yeah, you got a correction. They won a treble. We've won the treble. There is a difference. We won the treble. Yeah, we won the treble.
You mean the first? We were the first.
That's the treble. They've won a treble now. Now it's a treble. We won the treble.
This is true. Can't ever take it away from the first person to do it. First team to do it. Right.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah. Neil Armstrong was the first person to go to the moon. Name the fourth, fifth, and sixth person. Who cares? That was the moon journey. You know, everyone after that, who cares? We did the treble. Always remember.
Exactly. The first one's there. I'm not starting on that one, but I'll definitely keep that one in my back pocket now, Imran, now that you've mentioned it. When all the anyone but United banter comes out, yeah, that's a good one to keep in there for the summer. Look, we're going to give out a cute few awards on this show. And look, let's start with Player of the Season. Tom, I mean, there's a few kind of, we chatted about potentials for this. There's some obvious names out there, but yeah, who's top of your list for this year?
It has to be Marcus Rashford. I was torn a little bit at first between Rashford and Casemiro, because I think he's made such a difference to the actual solidity of the team, and you know, as I'm sure you've probably discussed before, provides that base for us to actually attack properly, and you know, sort of has that extra assurance at the back. I often see him dropping back into the defense and different things. So, but I just think the games when we didn't play particularly well, or the games when you needed that spark, 9 out of 10 times it came from Marcus Rashford. So I think for that reason, he would be my player of the season.
Yeah, and it makes sense. And I mean, as we talked about, Ronaldo leaving, everybody was like, where are the goals going to come from? And Rashford did step up, you know, without him, I don't know where we would have been. And it's going to be a big issue for next season. We've said time and time again for weeks that our main priority is surely going to be bringing in a new striker. Because, you know, Cavani left, then we were thinking about Ronaldo, he left. So all of a sudden, Martial, you don't know how often he's ever going to be available. So yeah, it was all on Rashford, and he did deliver a 30 goal a season. Can't really argue with that. He got both awards at the club's season awards. He got the kind of fan player of the year and the player's player of the year. The first like academy player for a long, long time to be winning these awards. You know, we've always had a lot of academy players coming through. But yeah, it's a long time since any of our academy players have actually been winning these awards. I mean, Imran, what's your shout? Are you on the same place or you want to give somebody else some recognition?
I mean, there's a lot you could give recognition. I think, like Tom said, it probably is between Casemiro and Rashford at the end of the day. Martinez would have been up there, but he did miss the run-in of the season. And I think for that same token, Casemiro missed a quarter of Premier League games through suspension and not actually being here for the first couple. So if you counter that, him not actually being around for a quarter of the season, I think you have to say it has to be Rashford, really. Especially that post-World Cup fixture run of him just scoring constantly really solidified our place in the league, and we've not looked back since then, really. 30-goal season is a fantastic return. I don't think anyone would have, at the beginning of the season, in their wildest dreams, said Rashford's going to score 30 goals this season. So that improvement has been massive. He is the genuine one big source of goals that we can count on and rely on. It's got to be Rashford, really. Obviously, yeah, like I said, Casemiro, huge difference when he's not in the team. There is a big Casemiro-shaped hole that, you know, can't be filled by anyone else because he's a world-class defensive midfielder, one of the best in the world, alongside probably Rodri. But yeah, unfortunately, he was suspended a lot of the time. So yeah, it's got to be Rashford.
Yeah, and same. I'm giving it to Rashford as well. And again, Casemiro, close second. I did throw this out in our kind of podcast WhatsApp with some of the other guys. And the only different name, Jamie did go for Martinez. And I can totally understand that. He had a great season. We did miss him a bit at the end of the season, but not as much as I thought, actually. I was really worried about him being out. And we have said on recent podcasts that Victor Lindelof really stepped up in that kind of running. You know, I'd been really worried about how we deal with, firstly, we were out without Varane for a bit. Thankfully, he was back for the last few games. But yeah, Martinez had a brilliant season. And I think, yeah, credit to Erik ten Hag. These are obviously two players he bought in, Casemiro, Martinez. He also kind of revitalised Rashford. I mean, let's not forget, Rashford had an absolute write-off of a season last year. Some people were calling for him to be sold in the summer. He got a lot of flack. I mean, some of it deserved, but I thought it was a bit OTT, especially when he'd just come back from major surgery. But yeah, so brilliant to see him come back and actually hit these heights this season.
The other name you have to throw in there is Luke Shaw as well. I think Luke Shaw's been... If there was like a... not, I wouldn't say unsung, because Luke Shaw's not unsung, but if there was also a Player of the Year award, it would be Luke Shaw, because he is a tremendous footballer and has consistently shown what a tremendous footballer he is in two positions this year, especially when we needed him to fill in at centre-back. It was like seamless transition. He's the one player... I think you could put Luke Shaw in any position on our field and he'd probably be one of the best players in that position, such as his talent as a footballer, and I think he's really showed that this year. So Luke Shaw would also be up there for me.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so we're giving that one to Rashford. I mean, the next one on the list then is goal of the season. I don't know which ones you kind of remember out there, Imran.
I don't remember it. Honestly, I was thinking, I remember I watched the last match of the day of the year. Because I always do. I watched the last match of the day. I was thinking, goal of the season coming. I was like, I couldn't tell you one good goal from this whole season. And then he played for, like, all right, I sort of remember then. And then Inciso won it for that banger he scored against City. I was like, yeah, probably, because it was the one that last week, and it was the only one anyone can remember. But for us, I did have a little look through, and you'd probably say it's got to be either Antony versus City or Rashford versus Arsenal. I think they're the two standout goals, probably, both in games that we lost, unfortunately. But I would give it Rashford. The Megs on Partey and then smashing it in from 25 yards. That was when he was at his like proper pomp as well. So yeah, I'd give it Rashford again.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely weirdly, I actually had that Rashford against Arsenal goals written down on my list. That wasn't even in the top 10 goals in contention from the club's official list for the year.
I don't think they like goals where we lose, do they? I think they...
I went to look at it just to remind myself, and it wasn't even in the list, and I was like, what on earth? But yeah, Tom, which goal did you pick out?
I actually went for something completely different. I remember Casemiro against Bournemouth. Possible recency bias, but just there was just something about it where of course he's Brazilian, but still the fact that a, you know, normally very defensive player was just able to kind of even think to attempt that sort of scissor kick where he hit it on the turn, and I don't know, as someone who still occasionally tries to play football myself, that is an incredibly difficult skill that I have tried on numerous occasions throughout my footballing amateur footballing career. I never been able to pull it off. So I that one for me was really quite special. It felt very, very Brazilian, and it was nice to see someone doing that kind of thing in a United shirt again.
Yeah, and in fact, that is exactly the one I was going to shout out. So yeah, I thought that was a beautiful one right at the end of the season as well, where we were slightly, a bit as well, looked like we were running out of steam. And Casemiro turned up with two absolutely vital goals to kind of secure our top four right at the end of the year. And yeah, that was one I loved as well. I mean, the club actually gave the award to Antony for his strike against Barcelona. That's our official kind of club goal of the season. You know, it was the one that kind of won the game for us. So I think maybe it was more about what it represented rather than the actual strike itself, even though, yeah, it was a good one. Second was Jadon Sancho's goal against Liverpool in the list over there. Alejandro's winner at Craven Cottage against Fulham was then third on the list, and that had got a shout out from David in our kind of podcast group. Jamie as well had shouted on Antony's strike versus City, another game that we lost, but he did put in a good goal. And then there was fourth on the list was Marcus Rashford. Do you remember he had a kind of solo effort against Burnley?
Yeah, I was going to bring up that one.
Back from the
he ran from the halfway line against Burnley in the League Cup. Put it in the corner.
Exactly.
Which was a good goal, but terrible defending. Literally, they just let him run for the half the pitch. And so he had a similar one against Forest as well, didn't he? In the League Cup as well, where he ran on this time on the left hand side, he ran from the halfway line, yeah. Bodied a few people.
No, I had a few, like when I was thinking goal of the season, I had a few images of Rashford running half the length of the pitch and beating two or three players. So yeah. It makes sense that there were several goals like that. I just couldn't remember which teams they were against.
And he's done it at least two or three times. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I mean, I had actually written down two goals, and it was literally the two that you'd said. Like, we hadn't conferred on this. I had written down Casemiro's bicycle kick. I had written down that Rashford goal against Arsenal because I was just shocked that actually neither were featured in the club's voting for goal of the season. I think maybe the Casemiro one came a bit late. I think they might have done it just before that. But yeah, I still don't really understand why that Rashford against Arsenal goal wasn't in there, because it was such a vital goal as well.
It won goal of the month, as in like the BBC Match of the Day goal of the month. That Rashford won one goal of the month and was in contention for goals. In fact, I think it came third in goal of the season for BBC. So there you go.
But yeah, obviously the club asleep on that one, didn't even include it in their shortlist. And as I said, yeah, Antony against Barcelona gets the shout out over there. I mean, that's probably the right time to start talking about moment of the season. I mean, Tom, what's on your list for that one?
Has to be winning the trophy. I know it's the obvious thing, but if I'm going for very, very specific in terms of winning the trophy, Wout Weghorst, his celebration when we won the trophy was just spectacular. I loved it.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I was at Wembley that day. We had a good celebration with each of them. I mean, I've probably been like the top criticizer of Wout Weghorst in recent months, but it is kind of great to see just how happy he is to be involved in it. That kind of dream for him just to be there. I mean, there still hasn't actually been an official announcement about Weghorst or Sabitzer, that neither of them, whether they're staying or not. I mean, maybe their contract comes to an end of June or something like that, but I'm assuming that neither of them are staying. But there hasn't been any official announcement on either of them. I mean, Imran, you're not expecting either of them here next season, are you?
No, I don't think. I'd be very, very surprised if either of them are staying. I think they'll just silently leave and we'll just give a little thank you message. Apparently Everton want Weghorst, which is interesting. That'll really help them score goals because, you know.
Well, Sean Dyche did have him, obviously, at Burnley.
He did.
And he obviously liked the big man up front.
They've already got Neil Mopay to not score goals. So, you know, they just need to add to that.
Yeah, line up the not scoring goal scorers on the list over there. We will actually take a quick break there and then we'll come back to talk about Imran's kind of moment stroke match of the season. And then, yeah, round off some of the other highlights of the year over there.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Back for part two of the podcast. So yeah, Tom shouted out the League Cup final win as his moment of the season, which is also mine actually, and partly because I was at Wembley as well. I was unfortunate. I went to Wembley like three times this season, and unfortunately only one of them was a win, which was that League Cup final win. I saw the women's final where Man United women lost to Chelsea, and obviously I was at the City game where I didn't think we did too badly, but it was a loss as well. But Imran, what's on top of your list for moment of the season?
Yeah, it's probably winning the League Cup, but like you said, it is a little better when you are at the game. So beating City at home and beating Liverpool at home, those two really stick out in terms of going to Old Trafford, getting those wins. Especially the City one, because that City game we won in dodgy circumstances, which is always hilarious against Man City. There's that. And then also it felt like, and I feel like it's obviously changed a bit since then, but at that time, I felt like if we played that game 10 times, we'd have won half of them. We didn't feel like we were miles away from City in that game at all. Obviously, they've then kicked on since then. I think that was when they're having a bit of a lull, and they've kicked on since then. And you probably play the FA Cup 10 times, we maybe win it once or twice. But that game in particular at Old Trafford on that day, I feel like we weren't a million miles away from them. Kind of like, yeah, we are going in the right direction. We it wasn't just like a come from behind fluke kind of win. It was we matched them as a team that day. So that was a good win.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I remember that Liverpool one was kind of what got our season started again after a really bad start. So it was like a really important one. We'd had the same. I mean, there had also been Jamie had picked out beating Barcelona in the Europa League, which I know at the time felt absolutely massive. Because we then obviously went out, it feels like a bit less. But at the time, it was huge. I mean, it was weird. I've said before on the podcast that we beat Barcelona, who won La Liga. We beat, Real Betis, who came fifth or sixth, I think. And then we lost to Sevilla, who were like mid-table, but obviously have that Europa League hoodoo and will never, ever be beaten in that competition ever again. It did feel... that had that Champions League kind of feel to it at the time, the big tie, and then we did it over two legs. You know, people didn't give us a chance at the time, and it was obviously a bit of a thriller, 4-3. It was a big highlight of the season as well, just having big game.
And if you look at a match of the season, I think that away leg is probably the best game of the season. The best game we've been in, I think, that I've watched.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. Definitely up there. So, yeah, I mean, that rounds up our kind of awards, apart from, we always do, right, Imran, what's your favourite award?
The Scott McTominay Award, for being Scott McTominay, but this year it's not Scott McTominay.
If anyone doesn't remember, Jose Mourinho did invent the Scott McTominay Award when he first broke through from the youth team, a special award just for his recognition. I mean, what's your shout out for this Scotland song? You've already given Luke Shaw a bit of a shout out for it, but
no, I think it's Victor Lindelof for surprising everyone by not being terrible at the end of the season and actually being a very good, competent defender who you'd actually think, yeah, you should probably stick around Victor and be our third choice centre back. I don't think anyone would mind that now. Because when Martinez got injured, I think everyone was fearing the worst, but he's come in and been fairly, I mean, obviously not Martinez levels, but your third choice centre back doesn't need to be as good as your first choice centre back. So I think, yeah, Victor Lindelof can take that award, I think. Or Aaron Wan-Bissaka, to be fair.
Well, I was actually just going to mention Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Like, you know, a lot of our fans thought he was a write-off. They even expected him to be sold in the kind of winter window. He didn't play any of that first part of the season. Then Dalot got kind of injured out of the World Cup. And since then he came in and yeah, he's been absolutely outstanding. So yeah, I would actually give that kind of surprise of the year award to Aaron Wan-Bissaka. So yeah, I guess they can share it. Lindelof and Wan-Bissaka can share the Scott McTominay.
Well, unless Tom's got a different contender.
I want to give a shout out to Diogo Dalot. Because, I mean, he sort of surprised me, and this might be my fault for maybe not having paid as much attention to, was he at AC Milan last year on loan? And he was playing most of the matches for them, and I think they won the league, didn't they? So clearly, he was obviously doing good things. But from what I remember him in a Man United shirt to what he became this season, yeah, like vastly improved. And even, I think very early on, I remember him celebrating, like blocking a cross or something as though he'd scored a goal. And it's sort of, I think it was linked perhaps to like Martinez coming in and sort of helping to really get everyone quite excited about defending again, which I felt like the defense had been missing. But I felt like Dalot was the one who kind of really took that on as well alongside Martinez in terms of celebrating a tackle and stuff, which I know it annoys some fans, but I quite like it. As long as it's your own players doing it anyway.
Well, it's a good point because we shouted out Aaron Wan-Bissaka for being great, but he was only great for like a half season. And before that, you forget, Diogo Dalot before the World Cup was excellent.
He was. I think I remember saying before the World Cup that he was up there for our best player of the season up to that point. I mean, it was a shock, but he got that injury, had been a bit like dodgy when he came back, but then started filling in at left back a little bit towards the end of the season and did a pretty decent job there. Mm. So yeah, no, that is, you forget, like you say, recency bias, you remember the recent stuff, but he had a brilliant start to the season. So yeah, that is a good shout out for sure, Diego. Yeah, so these are the kind of more unsung heroes of the year.
Are we doing worst?
Go on then.
Worst player of the year for me would be Jadon Sancho.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving that award to Wout Weghorst, but I think there is a couple of contenders.
But it's all about expectations. Like, Wout Weghorst is alone, who came from Burnley, being in Turkey, and is there to do a job of running around a lot kind of thing. And he's not there to... I mean, obviously, in our wildest dreams, he would have come in and scored 10 goals and it would have been brilliant. But really, he was just a body to fill while Anthony Martial was, you know, off dying somewhere. So expectations-wise, I had zero for him anyway, so whatever. But
I thought a few goals. I thought like, you know, it wasn't five goals. Or
you would assume probably someone would hit him on the knee or the shoulder and go in, but, you know, whatever.
And when he first came, he played a lot of games. Toward the end of the year, he didn't, but he played a lot of games in that first period.
I think, to be fair, he did contribute in the League Cup final as well in a good way. Some good, obviously not in terms of goals, no, but in contribution, I mean, as I said, he's alone. It's not, the expectations aren't there, whereas the expectation for Jadon Sancho, who is a £70 million winger, who we've got a lot, paid 200 grand a week, got a lot, you know, you expect the world from him and invariably you just get nothing from him. So he would be mine.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know if you have anyone to add to that list, Tom, that's disappointed you this season.
I don't know. I'm probably being harsh, but I find Anthony quite infuriating sometimes because I know he's so talented. But I think that's just, I think he's just one of those players. He reminds me of like Nani in a way, where like on his day is absolutely unplayable and will just, you know, smack it in the top corner after beating three men, but then on another day just won't be able to play a pass.
So, yeah, so I have heard that Nani comparison from a couple of other people as well.
I think that's fair, Anthony. But the thing with Anthony is, like you said, you can see it there. There is something yeah. there. It's there somewhere. I mean, it just kind of.
And at the end, he was fantastic in the running. Really, coming up with big goals. So he definitely. I wouldn't in any way say he deserves worst player of the year or anything like that. But it's just like he is. I don't know how to say it. He's infuriating rather than necessarily being low on expectation. Yeah. But it just feels like his ceiling is so high.
Exactly.
You just want a little bit more.
When his second season, you might see it come out a bit more, give him time in the league, etc. And yeah. like I said, there is something there. It might not be £80 million worth. And I think if we were bought him for 30, 40 million, I think it would be a different conversation around him all the time. And that's why the conversation for me around Sancho is completely different, because one, I just don't see it in him. He's been here for what, 2 years now, and I just don't see it in him. I don't see him turning good. We can't get rid of him probably because of the wages he's on, but yeah, that's where the two differ for me. Anthony, I can see there's something there. Sancho, I just don't see anything there. But it is a worry when we're talking about our wingers. But then I guess we do have Garnacho coming through and Ahmad's coming back from a good loan spell, so you know we're hopefully looking all right in those positions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that is a fair shout on Anthony. I mean, you're like, obviously, the stats, Tom. But yeah, I did say a few weeks ago that if we'd looked at kind of his expected goals and expected assists, he should have been hitting towards kind of 15, 20 goals and assists for the season. And he was nowhere near that. And it was often kind of like decision-making at the vital times where he's taking a shot when it should be a pass, where he's just off. But you know, it only takes like, you know, 10% improvement on making the right decisions for him to turn that into a 20 goal and assist a season that we hopefully might aim for last year. And we have to remember, first season for him coming from the Dutch league, which is a whole different level. And he still did add a lot to the team in terms of kind of work rate and the defensive side. If he can just start making slightly better decisions at the vital time, I think next season we could see him delivering there. But yeah, I totally understand.
What you would say is, though, if you're expecting which Brazilian would make more goals and assists for us this year, you wouldn't have pegged Casemiro, would you?
Yeah, no, we weren't expecting exactly much from him. And yeah, he turned out with some absolutely vital goals, which was outstanding. I mean, that's probably actually a good moment that we can have a little. It's currently the international games going on. You mentioned Garnacho. He's just made his debut for Argentina. There had still been this bitter tug of war between Spain and Argentina over him. He could have played for either team. He played a lot of youth games for Spain, but had switched his allegiances to Argentina. But I think he'd been called up and got injured a couple of times. So still hadn't actually got his first cap. But he did play the other night now. So he is now officially an Argentina. And I think he put some pictures out of him with Messi and just saying it was his dream to have been on the same pitch as him and that kind of thing. So yeah, he's got in there, and yeah, he's probably like the kind of breakout star of the season for us. You know, we had talked about him last season when we talked about the win in the FA Youth Cup. He was the standout player there and had got a few kind of minutes towards the end of last year. But, he got hurt and missed that part of the season, but came in strong right at the end there. And yeah, it's a shame we did miss him for a little bit at that start, but definitely we're so pleased that he signed a new contract and will be here for a while. Palestri also signed a new contract and got two assists for Uruguay last night or the night before. Did not see much of him this season at all. I actually thought he deserved to play a bit more. Every time he was on the pitch, I thought it looked like he could do something. And there was a couple of times when, especially the likes of Sancho or Weghorst were coming on, where I was like, how come, you know, Palestri doesn't get 15, 20 minutes to have a run over here? But yeah, it looks like Ten Hag does like him and has given him a contract. I don't know, though, where all these wingers are going to fit in, because you said as well, as you mentioned, Imran, Ahmad's had a massive season at Sunderland. He got their kind of player of the year, loads of goals. Looks like he deserves to come into the first team, but is there going to be enough minutes for all these players? Sancho, Ahmad, Palestri, Anthony, Rashford still probably is best on the left. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe one of them needs to go on loan. Where are they all going to get some game time?
I would hopefully get Palestri on loan. I think he's probably in line for a loan, and maybe try get Ahmad some minutes. And if we can't, then get him out on loan as well. But I think Palestri definitely needs a loan in England.
Yeah, that's always the ideal thing. He was in La Liga for, I think, two seasons.
He was, but you kind of want him in the English league somewhere. Ideally, Premier League, but yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even be totally against Armad having another loan if it's a Premier League loan and, you know, playing week in, week out. Because, yeah, it's one thing playing in the Championship. We've seen kind of James Garner do it in the past, but then hasn't quite made the step up into the Premier League this year for Everton, although he was injured for a lot of it. I mean, there's another winger still out there as well. It's Anthony Elanga. He scored for Sweden 2 days ago as well. It's actually a really beautiful goal. If you haven't seen it, it's worth having a look at. But yeah, I'd say he's probably top of the list for us to cash in on at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know, Tom, if you saw anything in Elanga that you think is keeping hold of. But yeah, for me, it's probably time to see how much money we can get for him.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably good for him at this point in his career as well, right? He sort of half broke through last year and then obviously didn't quite work out this season. I think he hardly played, really, did he? Apart, he had a few at the start of the year, did he? Did he start a couple of games and then...
At the beginning of the year, he played. Yeah. And then I think Palestri basically took his squad place towards the end of the year.
Yeah. I think I agree with you. He did a decent job when everyone else wasn't, when Ragnik was here and different things. But yeah, I think probably best for him and the club if he, probably goes on to like someone like an Everton, shall we say.
Yeah.
You do a really good job for a team like that, I think.
We should just sell our last scraps to Everton. I think Ahmad on loan
at Everton as well.
Oh, no, it's better than Everton. Come on, now. Don't do that to the poor lad.
Forest. Sure, you can see him at Forest. Like, Forest need a new winger now they've lost Jesse.
Now they've only got about five wingers, Forest. So, you know, they need to add another.
We'll have to see how this all plays out. And like I said, as we keep repeating, probably our transfer business is all not on hold, but depends a lot on what's happening with takeover. That's been the big problem with this summer. We're still waiting for that news. I don't want to talk a lot on the takeover on this show because we've talked a lot about it in the last couple. I also have spent way too long today on Red Cafe arguing about the takeover, way too long on my Sunday being spent online arguing about Sheikh Jassim versus Sir Jim Ratcliffe, when honestly I'd actually be happy for either of them at this point. I just want that deal done, the Glazers out, let's get on with it. That's the main thing at this point. There's been a lot of arguments online about which is the better option, but I'm really not that bothered and just want it done one way or another. The news seems to be the Qatari bid is edging towards it, but yeah, we're not going to go into deep detail on that one this week. Mm. We've done a lot on it last few weeks, and hopefully there'll be some more solid news to talk about on the next show. Just rounding up the international stuff, Bruno also got a couple of goals.
Very good goals as well, if you watch them. One is a brilliant header and one is a very good half volley into the top corner. So nice from Bruno.
Yeah. I mean, I barely even realised these international games were going on until, like, literally I turned on the telly and was like, oh, there's this football happening? I mean, what's this about? I mean, I don't know when these players are ever supposed to get a rest. Like, it's absolutely mental. And we know that our players have played more than anybody, especially the likes of Bruno. Just crazy, crazy numbers they've been putting in. I don't know why they bother with this. But, yeah, Maguire started again. Shaw started again. Rashford came off the bench. Several of our players have had minutes. I think they've all still got another game yet. I mean, we're recording this on Sunday. But yeah, England rolling through nicely and qualifying, which is kind of nice to see at least. I mean, I still remember the days when you used to watch England qualifiers because you weren't actually sure what we'd do against the likes of Malta or Bulgaria or whatever. But nowadays, it's quite nice that you don't actually need to bother with it and we roll through qualifying at the very least. I don't know if you saw anything else going on in international football this week, Imran.
I've been too busy watching the cricket to care about football. So,
fair enough.
I don't think I can tell the wife, oh, I watch cricket all day, now I'm going to watch football. I'm picking my battles.
Isn't the Nations League final happening today? Happened today?
Is it? If you gave me 5 minutes, I don't think I could guess who's in that final.
Semi-finals were Wednesday and Thursday. I remember that.
It was France versus Italy. I don't know if that was, though. No, it's Croatia and Spain. So there you go. Croatia versus Spain right now.
Netherlands got beat because I know that Weghorst did play some minutes, actually, for the Netherlands. And somebody had posted up a bit of a blooper from Van Dijk in that game. So, yeah, I know that Netherlands got beat over there. And then what was he say? France versus...
No, it's Croatia versus Spain. It's great. Italy is the final, yeah. Third place, and Italy won 3-2. So they're third place, and then Croatia, Spain is right now. Genuinely, I could. Thanks, Tom. I did genuinely had no clue that was happening.
But yeah, look, like I say, hopefully these players can get some rest at some point. I mean, yeah, we did a fair bit of transfer talk on the last podcast. There's nothing else solid to talk about apart from the kind of bombshell news from the women's team that Alessia Russo, who is probably the most high-profile player in that team, has announced.
Ella Toon would have something to say about that. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah, it's a toss-up between the two of them. I mean, Ella Toon
Now Russo's dead to us, so it's definitely Ella Toon.
Oh, yeah, now it definitely is, definitely. I mean, yeah, we're still waiting to see where she's going. And yeah, I did post on Twitter and said, listen, if she goes abroad, I wish her good luck. If she goes to Arsenal, she is dead to me. I don't want to hear her name ever again. You know, I don't like, again, like, but it kind of shows you where the profile of women's football is going, that now players are putting out these kind of PR videos and things like that, which you never would have seen in women's football. You know, it's getting mentioned on TalkSport. So it is kind of big news. But yeah, Alessia Russo did put out this video of her as like a five-year-old child in a United shirt. It was my dream to play at Old Trafford. And that for me actually just makes it worse that you're like leaving now. Like, just put like a thank you, bye kind of picture. I'm like, okay, I'll deal with it. Like, a whole concocted video of you wearing United shirts at every point in your life. And now, yeah, I'm leaving. Just at the point where the women's team are actually breaking through, getting to the Champions League, getting to finals, are actually like a serious proposition. But I'll reserve full judgment until she announced where she's going. Although, yeah, it does look like it might be Arsenal.
I mean, well, the thing with that is that we don't really know what's gone on, but it does seem that we've kind of just played low ball with her for a long, long time leading up to this. And then I think we finally got our act together a bit too late to offer her terms that other clubs are offering her. And at that point, if we're not appreciating her worth, then I guess I can see why she'd feel a bit jaded, but
I think the club definitely have messed up somewhere along the way, not being able to tie her down way, way earlier than this, you know, especially after she kind of broke through at those Euros last year, that back heel goal for England. That's when she really like announced herself, and for the club not to sort this out in summer was definitely a mess up. And then, yeah, Arsenal did make this world record bid in the winter window. The club turned it down, which I think was still the right decision, that even though she leaves for free, because, you know, that 6 months, we have now qualified for the Champions League for the first time. We did end up in the FA Cup final, which was historic things for the women's team. So I think it did make sense that even though, yeah, she is going to leave for free now. I mean, the bigger issue is there's still the likes of Anya Bajia, who
she'll probably go as well, I think.
It does look like she might go to Barcelona. I have less of an issue with that. You know, she did start her career at Barcelona. She is Spanish, Catalan. So I'm less of an issue with her going back there. But yeah, there's other players' contracts that are up in the air. So again, I don't know whether it's waiting for the takeover to get sorted out, but the women's team do need to start tying down what they're doing next year.
I mean, ultimately, it goes back to, I think, under the Glazers, the women's team hasn't been a priority or even much of a thought, really. I think the success we've had in the women's team has been despite of the Glazers, as opposed to thanks to them. I think they reacted very late to even us having a team. We're way behind the curve on that. And I think both the new owners have said they're going to, you know, invest in that side of the game. So I think under either Ratcliffe or Jassim, I think, yeah, you're going to see a lot more movement, especially now we're in the Champions League. I can see a lot more being put into the women's team after the takeover. But I think before then, obviously we're going to lose Russo and we're going to lose Bajie as well, which is disappointing, but we just have to replace them.
Yeah. Definitely. And, you know, I'd say this was like the kind of breakout season for Women's Super League and women's football in general. I mean, I'd kept an eye on it for kind of a couple of years.
Of course, it's the breakout season. We did well. It has to be the breakout season if we do well.
Yeah, we have. Like I say, it was a historic year. And yeah, we will focus a bit more on that in the summer. We'll maybe get back Natalie or one of the other women's experts on over here. But yeah, we will take another quick break there before we come back and talk in more detail with Dr. Tom about the analysis he's done and the games to look out for next season.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back for part three of the show. As I mentioned, Dr. Tom Crawford had been on the show last season. He'd done some analysis about the greatest players of all time. You are, of course, a mathematician. And I know you've been crunching the numbers and doing some more analysis and trying to pick out what are going to be the best games of next season, right? So why don't you tell us a bit more about what you've been doing there?
Yeah. So I'll tell you how the whole thing started, because I think this in itself is quite an interesting story. So I was approached by sportsbreaks.com. So they are a company. They offer tickets to games, travel, hotel packages. And they basically approached me and said they sort of have, I wouldn't say a problem, but they have fans approaching them wanting to get tickets. And obviously the fans pick the really, really popular games. So if you're a United fan, you're like City, Liverpool, Arsenal, you want to go to the big games. And they're the ones that sell out. So then apart from those ones, when those tickets aren't available, as a fan, you're then asking, well, which game is the best one for me to go to next? Of the other teams, you know, you might have a favorite team, but if you don't, then, you know, there's still 15 other teams to pick from or something. Which one should you go to? And so the idea of this analysis, which we called the hidden gems of the fixture list, was to try and work out which particular matches have the highest chance of containing lots of goals. Because ultimately, as a fan, you want to see as many goals as possible. We're taking that as the assumption. As a fan, you're picking a game, you want as many goals as you possibly can in that game. I looked at the last 5 years worth of data across the last, so that would give me 10 fixtures, two games for each team across the last 5 years. You can work out the average number of goals, and then based on that, you can then use a little bit of mathematical modeling. For anyone listening who is intrigued, it's something called a Poisson distribution, if you do want to look that up. But you create a mathematical model, and basically what it does is it fills in all the gaps in your data. So you take your 10 data points, which might be, I don't know, 3 goals in this game, and then 4 in this one, and then 1 in this one. And then it says, okay, well, how likely is it for there to be 6 goals? How likely is it for there to be 2? Because it might not have occurred in the last 10. So you're trying to fill in those gaps. And so the Poisson distribution allows you to do that. And then you can ask questions like, you know, which games are most likely to have 4 or more goals? And you can get a percentage probability, a percentage chance of that particular thing happening. So if I give you one statistic, which was one of my favorites that came out of it, because for Man United games in particular, if you're asking the question, which game is most likely to contain 4 or more goals, again, based on the last 5 years of data, the answer is Tottenham. Now, I don't know if that comes as a surprise to anyone listening. I can see both of you sort of nodding your head, probably remembering there were quite a few high-scoring affairs in the last couple of seasons, both for and against United, we should add. But
yeah,
generally...
Definitely. Did Ronaldo score a hat-trick against Tottenham?
Yes, he did, didn't 3-2.
Yeah, exactly. And then, in fact, my mind went instantly back to that time, I think, when we were like 3 down to Tottenham, and this is going years back, and ended up coming back 5-3. Oh,
that'd be a long time. It says a lot about us. My mind went to them beating us 6-1. So.
Same with Solskjaer, yeah. I remember that one. as a question for you both then, because I think this might be interesting. So Tottenham, actually, it turns out, is the one particular fixture that has the highest chance of 4 or more goals, and there's a 44% chance. So almost 50-50 chance you're going to see at least 4 goals if you go watch United versus Tottenham. Again, based on the last 5 seasons. That was like, you know, trying to predict the future based on the last 5 years. So it's not perfect, but that's what the maths tells you. So then, are there any other teams that either of you might throw out there that you would expect to be high scoring? Again, based on what's happened in the last 5 years.
Well, the Southampton would come to mind just because we beat them 9-0. So
Southampton did come out of the model, but of course they're not in the Premier League anymore. You're right. No, it's a very, very good guess. Very valid guess, but not going to work for next year.
Yeah. Well, in which case Liverpool, because again, there's been some hammerings in there, but then we also drew them. Liverpool, I think, were like,
So you, again, correct. Liverpool, there were a lot of goals in the Liverpool game, but I sort of avoided focusing on that, I guess, because,
everyone
wants to go and watch United.
For me, that's the game. I'll let Nick have a guess.
Yeah, I mean, just throwing out again, like, it's because I'm remembering getting absolutely hammered off them. But yeah, I think there's been a few other games where we've scored a few goals against them. But yeah, Brentford, as I said, I had bad memories of 4-0 versus them last season. But I think we have had some decent games against them where we've scored a few against them in recent years.
They've only been in the league for 2 years, Nick.
True. But I remember most of those games as having quite a few goals in them.
Yeah, no, Brentford were just a tiny bit, little bit behind Spurs. So the Spurs games averaged 3.4 goals and Brentford games averaged 3 goals over the last 5 years. So yeah, so no, Brentford is a good guess. The other ones, Brighton was a decent shout for goals. So there's a 42% chance of seeing 4 or more goals in the Brighton game. Bournemouth, 43% chance from the Bournemouth game. And then the other one, Fulham, 39% chance of 4 or more. And then down to Villa, that was a 35% chance of 4 or more goals.
So okay. I'm guessing Wolves are at the bottom of the list.
Let me have a look. Wolves was an average 1.6. Yeah, that is incredible knowledge. Wolves indeed are the lowest scoring fixture for Man United over the last 5 years.
The first game of next season we can look forward to is Wolves.
Yeah, well, exactly. This time's quite well with obviously the new fixtures coming out. Our first game is against Wolves. But I think that was also more like the Espirito Santo days where we constantly had like 0-0. There was always one goal.
There was a period of time where I think we played them once every week for a month and it was always 1-0 or 0-0. I think I remember everyone saying, I never want to play Wolves ever again. Every time we play them, I feel like it's just going to be even 0-0 or 1-0. And it usually is. So.
But yeah, starting our season. And yeah, TV are screwing us again because our season kicks off on a Monday night.
Does it? I'm learning lots of things today. So we're on a Monday night
fixture in the opening weekend of the season, which is just horrible. But yeah, we'll see how we work around that. I mean, after Wolves, we actually have Spurs. So we've got the worst fixture coming first and then the best fixture second. So yeah, it's all written for there. Yeah, work ties in quite nicely. And after that, we're home to Forest. Our first big game, well, kind of not including Spurs, but maybe we should still talk about them as a top six team. But yeah, we've got Arsenal away at the start of September. And then, yeah, Brighton, Burnley and Crystal Palace finish off like August and September, basically. So an OK kind of start to the season, a couple of hefty kind of London games in there. I don't know if they come up with anything specific in your analysis there, Tom, about matches when we're off to London and everything. Maybe people who are traveling and looking for tickets are often the ones looking for around like London games.
If you're looking at London specifically, Arsenal, I mean, I guess we'd all want to go and watch Arsenal, but Arsenal is 2.9 average goals for the last 5 years. As mentioned before, Brentford is probably a good bet for London. Avoid Palace is quite a low scoring one. In the model, Fulham would be good, as I mentioned, and probably avoid West Ham. That's also quite a low scoring one. So I think Brentford and Fulham, if you're looking for the non-big six, shall we say, London teams, Brentford and Fulham would be a very good bet, according to the maths, at least.
Take a random chance on Luton, because I don't know when the last time we played Luton.
I obviously have no data for Luton. So I'd imagine, too, I think you'd expect goals, right? Given the way they play. I feel like they remind me of not exactly, but very similar to Blackpool, Ian Holloway's Blackpool of a decade ago.
Yes.
Kind of just give it a go.
Good shout. I remember a game then I thought of immediately was 3-2 where they scored two goals from Charlie Adams corners, and then Berbatov helped us on a comeback. There you go. That's
was that the one when Sir Alex said his corners are worth $10 million on the loan because he knew Liverpool were trying to buy him.
Hang on a second. We need to buy this lad.
But yeah. Good memories. But yeah, Luton is going to be the most difficult away ticket to get for the season. Still don't think they've worked out exactly what their capacity is. And I'm sure everybody knows by now that you have to climb through somebody's house to get into the stadium. But yeah, I'll be definitely putting my name in the ballot for that one. It'll be great to go to. But yeah, I've seen a few people talking about saying maybe Luton are going to be going for the all-time record of lowest Premier League points. But I don't know. Let's see. Nowadays, you know, teams surprise you. Nobody gave Bournemouth any chance of staying up this season as well. Forest weren't given a lot of chance. And yeah, both of them have.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah. Also, there's too many shit teams for one team to be the most shit, I think.
Was it Derby? You still had the worst.
Yeah, Derby. Back in the 90s, and Huddersfield came close to them, but yeah.
I was about I'm amazed Huddersfield didn't break that record. No, they were terrible.
They were. Hey, but they stayed up one season. The first season after drawing with City and Chelsea. I only know this because I thought
beat us, didn't they?
They beat us as well. Unfortunately,
under Mourinho. Yeah.
living in the area, I was fully aware of Huddersfield in the Premier League at all times.
But yeah, the fixtures are out, so yeah, time to start thinking about next year. We do also have pre-season, which kicks off on the 12th of July against Leeds in Oslo. I think we've then got another game, I want to say, in Scotland, Edinburgh, before we then head out to USA. There's a few games over there. We've got that big match now. Wrexham all of a sudden are the big draw because of their like Hollywood status. So we're playing them somewhere. Like, I think we might be playing them in Vegas, in fact. Like
New York, I think. Somewhere. I don't know. But it isn't. So when does everyone go back to preseason training then? Because surely there's internationals now. You can't be. I think maybe
the players who are playing internationals might not feature in that kind of early game while we're still in Europe. But I guess everybody will join by the time they head out to USA. We're hoping we have some transfers by then. You know, like I say, everything is still a bit up in the air with the takeover and all, but I'm sure we should have some kind of budget there, regardless of what's going on with takeover.
So we need to be selling players. Like Maguire needs to be maybe on his way. Alanga, we mentioned. If we are going to sell... Twanzebe is gone already, at least. But we're going to sell Bailly and there's a couple of others. Telles, that's the one. Telles hanging around as well. We've got to sell them. And then maybe if we're going to sell McTominay or Fred, then do that as well. But
What's going to happen with Henderson as well?
Henderson as well. Yeah, we've got to sell him really as well, really. Get 20, 30 million for him. So even if we can, you know, because of the take of whatever, we can definitely start selling players, I would hope.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean,
and De Gea's contract situation needs to get sorted out because that's a bit of news, I guess. United released the retained list and it didn't include De Gea, but there was a note saying, obviously, that his contract hasn't been sorted out. So that is obviously ongoing. But there were rumours this week that we weren't going to reach an agreement. But I still think it'll happen. I'll be surprised if something isn't sorted out. But I guess his contract will expire at the end of June. So you would think it would be in the next 12 days that'll get sorted.
I have seen him linked for a kind of Saudi payday as well. I think it's clear that the club have put a contract down to him, but it's nowhere near what he's currently on. So he's going to have to take a pay cut to stay. And he probably knows that he's going to end up being number two to, you'd assume, some kind of new goalkeeper signing coming in. You know, there'd been a lot of focus on De Gea and some mistakes and things like that coming up. But I think he definitely doesn't fit with the Ten Hag way of wanting to play from the back. There have been too many times, too many nervous passes around the six-yard box. You know, I'm always nervous when they're kind of doing that. And then when he's kicking it long, it just never goes to one of our players. We said in that FA Cup final, the amount of times he was kicking it out and it was just coming straight back to us every time. So I cannot see that he's Ten Hag's number one. If he stays, he's going to be number two. And maybe he's not, I would totally understand if he's not happy with that. So yeah, we have to see. But yeah, these for me are top of the list. We will talk a lot more about transfers on the next shows coming up. But yeah, we talked about it on the last show. For me, striker and goalie are the two kind of priorities. I mean, Tom, I don't know if you had two kind of positions you wanted to strengthen, where would you be looking to strengthen?
definitely with you on striker. I think that's probably the number one on everybody's list. I don't know after that, because I feel like I see where you're coming from with the keeper, and I think we will do something for all the reasons you've listed. But I feel like we're still very light for me in midfield, in the center of midfield. I think obviously Casemiro and Eriksen coming in, huge. But then there's just, it feels like there's just such a drop off if those two aren't playing or aren't on it. So I think there's space there for somebody else maybe to come in. Because also they're both also what, the wrong side of 30 as well. So.
Yeah, that actually is the bigger thing for me, that they're not obviously ones for the long term. There was huge links obviously to Mason Mount. It looks pretty clear that we have made a bid there. I said on the last show he wouldn't have been top on my list, but I think he is a decent player and will improve our squad for sure. I mean, Imran, is there any other position that's high on your list?
No, just striker. Striker is 1, 2, 3, and 4 for me. Just get a striker.
Yeah, you could argue that like we need two strikers top of the list.
100%. I honestly think we need two strikers. It's a big glaring hole in our team, and I feel like we're not going to get Harry Kane, which is fair enough. I can see the reasons not to go spend £100 million on Harry Kane, at which point you're going to have to look in. I mean, the striker market is pretty barren, and so maybe you would have to, you know, buy two strikers and hope that one of them kind of works out and the other can be the deputy, because I don't want to go into another season relying on Anthony Martial to not be injured, because we all know how that ends.
No, and there has been links that maybe Ten Hag is ready to sell him. Whether anybody would take anyone with that kind of injury record and those kind of wages, I doubt. I'm pretty sure he will be here next season for those reasons. But yeah, we did talk on the last podcast about links with this young Danish striker from Atalanta. Apparently they're asking crazy money though. So yeah, I don't know where that's going to go. But yeah, of course, every week there's new players linked. We will do more of a transfer podcast. We'll definitely get Jamie on for that one, because he's our transfer muppet number one. Loves every rumour. He has his T-shirt ready for the summer season. He loves it. So, yeah, Jamie, for sure, we'll come back to give you all the kind of transfer lowdown. We have, yeah, plenty of other stuff planned for the summer. As I said, we will do a women's football special. I know Imran's itching to do one of his Imran Stupid Game quizzes. We will tie that in with Outsmarted Board Game, who are sending us some sponsorship as well. And yeah, we will be here all summer, pre-season. As I said, takeover talk, we've done a lot of chat on it, not today. You hope something happens. That is all the kind of discussion online at the moment is all about that, because there's not much going on the football side. But everybody is just waiting for something to happen, because that is where all the news is on Man United at the moment. So yeah, hopefully by next time we record, we will have some definitive news on the takeover side. I mean, yeah, apart from that, thanks very much for joining us, Tom. We will get you back for one of the future shows. Just let us know where we can find out more about all the mathematical stuff you're up to.
No, my pleasure. If people are interested in seeing more fun ways that you can apply maths to sports and various other things, I have a website, tomrocksmaths.com, and the main thing there is probably my YouTube channel, which is just at tomrocksmaths.
Yeah, we'll link you up on our Twitter, give you some links over there so people can check you out. And yeah, we will definitely get you back next season sometime to give us a chat on that. And yeah, that's it from us for this week. We will see you back on the next one.
Thank you for listening to United Hour. Remember to follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at United_Hour. Please take the time to leave a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. United Hour is brought to you by the Sports Social Network, and our theme song is by Ancient Feelings. To get in touch, please email unitedhour@gmail.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.